Well, we're back in our teaching again. We're looking at positioning yourself to receive healing. Hallelujah. It is one of the things, that's, especially in these last days, one of the things that God is really emphasizing. You'll always find concerning revivals, healings is a thing that takes place in the forefront. If we look back at the turn of the 1900s, the early 1900s, the move of the Spirit started. One of the things there came with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and that was divine healing came, and marvelous ministries were raised up then. And then we had in the 1950s, the healing revivals there of the 1950s, demonstrations of the Holy Spirit is one of the things that they used to say, and they had the saying was that healing was the dinner bell that God would ring to bring people into the kingdom. And there's nothing, you know. I mean, if we would take sickness and disease, we'd probably have 10 times more or more than that today in our nation than we had back at that time. So surely if that dinner bell was really rung today, it would really grab some people's attention. We need the supernatural. We've had enough of what people can do. We want what God can do. Hallelujah. So we want to be able, as believers, we want to be able to hook up with God by faith. That's what we want to do. It's important because there are, in the Bible, we have different ways in God ministered. One of the ways that, if you look in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, talks about gifts of the Spirit operation, but those gifts only operate as the Spirit wills. Now, there's gifts of healing, and they go into operation, and they're wonderful, but we need to understand this. If you understand how to operate by faith, you don't have to wait for the will of the Spirit to heal. You can, by your own will, believe God and receive healing. And that's what you want to learn to do. I don't want to have to wait till if God just works in that way or not. You know, I'm glad there's something a whole lot better than that. So learning to believe God, and that's what this is about, is bringing people to the place to believe God for their healing. And so we did talk about God's will. It's God's will for us to be healed or to be well. And God's a giver. We also looked at how God gives healing. It's one of the ways is laying on of hands. And now we're going to be looking at God. We started last week, but God led over to some other things. But we're going to pick up again because people, we're looking in this area about what do people, when people get hands laid on them, what are they looking for? What is it that they look? And lots of times things aren't told clearly to people. And many people, and we talked about the facts, that many people are looking, when they come and have hands laid on them, when they're doing that, they're looking for a manifestation, a healing manifestation. But the Bible does not teach that that was what God gives by the laying on of hands. He don't give healing manifestations. The Bible tells us what God gives. And we want to look at that. Is we need to understand in this area of ministry, God will do today exactly what He did in Jesus' ministry. He'll do the exact same thing. It's not going to be different. See, I've heard over the years, I remember people used to say it a lot, boy, God's going to really do things different in His last days. And that's why people followed a lot of things that were false. They thought that was God doing something different. See, because people come along and say, well, God's not going to do a different thing. God changes not. He's not going to do different. He might do something that seems different to you. You've never seen it before. But it's going to be something that's in the Word, something that He's done. It's something He does. How would you know God's movement if He didn't do it in line with the Word? How would you know that it was Him? What would we measure it against? See, this is what we need to understand. The Holy Spirit, if He takes what belonged to Jesus and reveals it to us, and Jesus is doing the will of Father, that's what He did, well then, the Holy Spirit's going to lead us in line with the same things. That's what He's going to do. And this is one of the things that that I found out that God does. You know, I've been spending a lot of time in prayer, and in doing so, one of the things that I find all the time, it hasn't changed. The more time I spend in prayer, the more God reveals things to me in line with the Word. The more He gives me revelation, things go. I'll ask Him about things, and He'll bring them and show them to me in things from the Word that I know. And I'll go over and look, yeah, there it is. That's what he's talking about. And see, it's there. And folks, that's what makes it, you know, we have to have something. There's got to be a pattern that we can follow. It can't be just, well, you know, that when the Spirit moves, it's just, you know, Alice in Wonderland. You know, you never know what happens. You know, you might go to a tea party and there's a rabbit there, you know. And that's the church world. They've sort of been doing that. And it's not the way that it goes. In other words, God has patterns in how He operates. That's why you can operate by faith. Because if He's doing things that's outside the Word, how do you have faith to believe it? How do you have faith? See, and this is the security. Your security is the Word. Always keep it over. The security is the Word. Now, in Jesus, you know, Jesus made this in John 14. I'm just going to read in John 14:10 quickly. It says, "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works." Jesus said, okay, the words that I'm speaking, this is what the Father's, it's not me. When Jesus operated in the earth, he's showing us a picture of how God operates in us. He came, he became a man, and he operated under the anointing of God. And God directed him, and in the same manner God does to you, that you're going to be the same way. God will direct you in the same manner. Jesus said, what I did, I'm saying it's what the Father did. The Father's always going to show you in line with the Word. You're not going to be doing something else. And so the Father's going to direct you just like he did Jesus. He said, I'm not doing what I did under my own authority. I can truthfully say this. Anybody who's going to follow the Lord, you're not going to walk in your own authority. See, we have been given authority by God, but it's not our authority, it's His. He delegated it to us. We have delegated authority. We need to get that as Christians. That same authority is delegated to you. God can turn the power off on it if you don't walk and live right. It's delegated authority. You're representing God. We're representing Him. I represent Him. And so the authority that I walk in is based on His authority, what He's given. And so it's very important that we understand that. Jesus didn't walk on His own authority in the earth. He didn't walk, and I'm my own God doing my own thing. So He showed us that. In John 5 and verse 43, Jesus said, I have come in my Father's name. He said, I came in my Father's name. He didn't come in His name. Came in His Father. He's walking under the authority of His Father. In John 13 and 20, He says, most assuredly I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me. Do you hear that? Whoever I send receives me. Now I want you, you know, we need a revelation of these things in the church. And He said, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. So we need to understand, you need to know who's sent from God and not. You need to become spiritual enough to know when God's talking and when He's not. You have to learn to do that. And the Holy Spirit will direct you. If you have the Holy Spirit in Him, He'll show you. And so when He said, you receive the one I send, you receive me. See, people are trying to have this one relationship with just me and Jesus. Sorry, don't work that way. God operates in the earth through people. He put apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers in the earth. He sent them out to preach the Word. People who don't listen to them and don't yield to that authority, they're always going to be in trouble, and they are. Life never works out the way they... Never. Why? Because they don't receive Christ. You can't neglect what Jesus sent and have Him. See, we need to learn those things. There's just a lot of people, loads of people. I had Christians, and they don't even have nothing to do with God. They don't want anything to do with Him. They don't want anything to do with the church. I don't need that. Just me and Jesus. And they don't realize they ain't got Jesus either. Jesus said, if you don't receive the one I sent, you don't receive me. So, I wonder if He lied, and they're telling the truth. Oh, well. And then He turned around and said, well, if you receive me, then you receive the one that sent me. Hallelujah. So you got the Father too. In John 5:19, Jesus answered, said to them, surely I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself but what He sees the Father do. For whatever He sees, he does, the Son does also does in like manner. In other words, Jesus was doing what He said and what He was doing is because of what the Father was doing. So He's an exact mimic of His Father. He's only doing that. He doesn't do anything else. He's only saying and doing what the Father says. And this is a wonderful thing because of this. You and I can sit down, we can look at the ministry of Jesus, and I can tell you, I can stop down and say, if God Himself had stepped out of heaven and walked into the earth, He would have done exactly the same thing. If the Father came, He'd have done the same thing that Jesus did. It would have been exactly the same. It wouldn't have been any different. See, I've had people say, well, you know, I know Jesus, but I don't know if I know the Father. Well, you ought to read the Bible sometime. Listen to what it says. Because the Word explains it to us. Jesus is an exact replica of the Father. So in the earth, he ministered. You look at Jesus' ministry. This is one thing is why you can look at Jesus' ministry. No one will ever convince me God makes people sick for a reason. Jesus never once told a person they could not be healed because God wanted them sick, to teach them something. Never one time. If that's the way God operates and he didn't reveal it to Jesus, then Jesus' ministry is a fraud and our Father God ain't nothing but the devil. He's a liar. Well, I'm going to tell you, my daddy ain't the devil. And Jesus wasn't a liar. It's been people on the earth who have lied about him, saying these kinds of things about him, and they're lies. They're lies. Jesus never turned anybody down for healing, did he? Didn't turn them down. Didn't turn anybody down. And people go to that. I wonder if they're going to get healed. Man, I think, dear God, if anybody wants to do something good to me, it's my dad. I never thought, now I was fortunate enough to have a father. I didn't think he had ill will against me. Now some people have been raised in stuff like that. But my dad, you know, I just couldn't imagine if somebody told me my dad wanted something bad to happen to me. I couldn't imagine that. That my father. But people talk about God their father and say the ugliest things about him that he does to people. They say the ugliest things about him. Well, was Jesus' life in the earth a big lie? He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed by his debt. Oh yeah, that's what most of the church believes. Most of the church believes it. Majority of the church, you know, that thing's, you know, this stuff. Yeah, Jesus is, the things are all messed up. America's messed up because of God. No, America's messed up because of America. The American church is messed up because of them. They're reaping. There's a spiritual law. It's called reaping what you sow. You end up with what you sow. So God told us. He said the church, whatever you bind on earth would be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth would be loosed in heaven. And what do? We loose the devil. We loose nonsense. We loose craziness. And then we go, why didn't it turn out good? It's what we decide to sow. That's why I said, Lord, man, things got to get changed. Dear God. Because people are bound in darkness. Many Christians are bound in darkness. Many Christians are bound in darkness. They have believed lies, received lies that they believe about God. Many don't even know what to believe anymore about God. There's so much said, so much done. There's deception going. Satan has dominated and ruled and brought darkness on the church. Darkness ain't on the church by God. Any Christian who wants to walk in light, they can hook up with God anytime they want. But people have gotten into darkness so much, they just think this is the way it is anymore. And they just walk along in it. They just tramp along in it. Hallelujah. Well, there's one thing. There's always got to be some people who will bring light. And light just don't just show up. Hallelujah. There's things that must be done to bring light on the scene. Hallelujah. And thank God there are people moving in the direction to bring light on the scene. Hallelujah. Now, when Jesus was in the earth, you know, even though when he was in the earth, born in the earth, we can know that he didn't operate under any kind of anointing because he was the Son of God. We know that he didn't. In fact, when his parents went up to Jerusalem and he ended up staying there, and the group came back from Jerusalem. They had to go up, you know, every so often to present yourself to God. It was twice a year Jews had to do that. And they would go up because God's presence was at the temple. And so you go up to the presence of God. Hallelujah. We're so fortunate we can do it anytime we want it. But don't do it. Hallelujah. Hey, we've all been guilty, ain't we? Yeah, well, I'll tell you, don't throw yourself under the bus. God will forgive us, and he does. He forgives, you know, hallelujah. If you decide you just want to do it, you can just start it. Whenever you want to do it, you can do it. Hallelujah. And he won't throw you out and say, we didn't come before you, nasty old thing. Get out. He ain't going to do that. He'll just be so glad you showed up. But you know, Jesus, at 11 years old, He stayed back. his parents took him home. They went up and got him, and he said to them, he said he was surprised that they didn't know he'd be about his father's business. You know, and so we see something as one of the other things is they didn't really understand him, even though an angel had appeared and said who he was. They didn't understand that. But the Bible says about him, you know, he had never done a miracle. He had never done anything like that beforehand. Anything like that. But the Bible tells us that he grew, and it's in Luke 2:52 says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. See, if he was operating as God, there's no way God needs to grow in wisdom and stature. But he had to grow just like a natural human being did. So this is the wonderful thing. When you can actually see Jesus in this, it doesn't diminish who he is. It gives us the picture how God can use us. In the same manner. That's why Jesus said, the works that I do, you can do also. Why? Because he did them as a man anointed by God. And you, in like manner, can be anointed by God and do the same. He said, there's going to be a couple guys that are going to do the works like I do. Yeah. No, he said, he who believes in me. Well, you know, whoever's called to the ministry or whoever's... No, he said, he who believes in me. So the qualification is for the ones who believe on him, like the scripture tells us to believe on him. So you're qualified. You've automatically qualified. So you're not trying to get qualified. These things you don't have to pray 2 seconds about. You're already qualified because God qualified you to it. God did. All you have to believe is in your qualifications, you know. Hallelujah. You know, you go out here and, you know, it's sort of like the tin man that didn't have a brain, you know? And so they gave him a diploma. They're doing that in the United States all over the place. They're giving people no brains diplomas. And you know what? They think they're smart. Well, God qualified you. Do you know that? And there's one thing. Until you believe it, you'll never walk into qualifications. You got to believe it. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus bought this stuff up of handing people degrees without any brains. And if they'll believe it, they'll get brains. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All we do is got to do is believe it. Can't get any better than that. Hallelujah. So this is one thing is why when we go ahead and look at how God is going to minister through Jesus, what Jesus gave to people. This is what we will look at, because people are hooked over in this thing. They're looking for the manifestation. But the Bible told us something else. The Bible told us we're supposed to believe we receive. Which means we have to believe something before a manifestation takes place. And this is where most people miss it. This is where most people, why? This is where people go, and at that time, faith and things just end. Because what they're looking for is a manifestation. They're believing for something that the Bible didn't say. And that's why you can end up having what the Bible says if you act in line with what the Bible says. And you're looking for what and acting in line with what the Bible said you were supposed to. And so we want to look at these things. And we're going to go back over. Is the fact that we talk like in Acts 10:38 where Jesus... Looking at Jesus, in Acts 10:30, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. And it says, who went about doing good, healing all that were pressed of the devil, for God was with him. So, you know, after this time, Jesus was anointed, and he got this anointing when he was baptized by John. Up until that time, Jesus had no healing ministry. He didn't do anything. He was just an ordinary guy. Oh, surely he was following the Word of God, and he was, he was praying, seeking God, his Father, and all that kind of stuff going on. But he did not have a ministry. He wasn't anointed for anything. He had no miracles took place up till this time. He was 30 years old. None of it took place up till this time. And the anointing of God came on him when he was baptized by John. And then at that time, this we know with his anointing. It says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit. Now this is interesting. He was all anointed, and this is where people, here's the thing, and this will be a side journey, but it's a good one. This is where people miss it. Because you got the Holy Spirit don't mean you got power. He said he was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power. See, the power to do things, just all of it don't come just fall on you. You get anointed with the Holy Ghost. You know, it's like Paul said, God found me faithful, putting me in the ministry. In other words, he wasn't really anointed to the ministry until God put him in it. So even though he was full of the Holy Ghost, he didn't have the power to stand in the office. God gives us power to stand in an office or to stand in a place. And see, that's why we spend time with God. God found him faithful, put him into the ministry. Many people think, well, you know, because I'm a child of God. You could be a child of God, but never have any fellowship with God. You have a relationship. See, people have this idea that I have a fellowship with God because I'm a child of God. No, you don't. You have a relationship. Fellowship with God is just like we do in the natural. You have to spend time with somebody to have fellowship with them. It don't just happen because you're born. Parents can take a child. How many times you hear these things where children are neglected? And just, well, they have parents they don't have parents. There's nothing going on between them. You see, it requires something, and so there's a difference between having a relationship with God, which you and I came into. We got born again. We all have a relationship. We're children of God. We got born again. We're God's children. Now, we're called to a relationship with him, and it's in the same way. We do through the Word, through prayer and things. We spend time learning to know, allowing the Holy Spirit to bring us into fellowship. God wants you to the place where prayer is not something you come to and you go to when you got a problem. Or when you have, you know, something and you just really need an answer. Prayer will be things where you come to fellowship with God, to just talk with him. I've been doing a lot of that, just spending time, just talking with God about stuff, just talking to him. Just spend time. You know, I've spent an hour or so. I just worship him for an hour or so. Just thanking him how good he's been to me. Just telling him how grateful I am I got saved and I get to serve him. That he's been a wonderful father to me. He's been so good. And I just tell him those things. I've talked to him. See, he's real to me. He's real. But he ain't going to become real to you just reading the book. Your mouth. You got to talk to him. And if you only ever talk to him about problems, don't be surprised he gets tired of talking to you. It's like I used to do with my kids. They only showed up when he wanted something. After a while, don't bother showing up. I like you. Oh, yeah, I love you, Mommy and Daddy. I need this and I need that. See, that's what God is and prayer is to most people. And I'll tell you what. That's why people don't grow with praying. Because they don't come into God, into his presence. They're just yelling at him, they want something. It's not about, they don't have an interest in him. Well, I found out when I get an interest in him, my God, what happens? You know, I get answers. I can get answers for people. I can get answers on stuff that I know people have sought for years about. And I can get answers on things. I don't have to wait 20 hours and 20 days or something. You get into his presence, it's amazing what shows up. And what you know. Answers come. Problem shows up. I know the answer immediately. This has been astounding to me. Ken Kasich has been, and I've been back and forth on some thing, a number of things. And not one time did he say to me a certain thing going on that I haven't had the immediately. I knew exactly what the answer was. I knew exactly. It astounds me. I think, my God, I know exactly what to do about this. Or I go over and I'll start to pray and I ask God. And I don't pray 10 minutes and God will speak to me and tell me what to do. But see, a lot of this has been going on. Me talking with him, spending time praying in the Holy Ghost when I don't know what all I'm praying about. But things are getting prayed out because see, God sees things. And this is one of the big things of getting over into the future of things. And especially when you're going to minister to people. Ministering to people, you don't want to be, most people are, this is where ministry wears people out. They go to minister and the ministry is all about getting in front of somebody and you want to help them. And you aren't even prepared for what you're going to hear from them. And you might hear something from them. You want to say, oh, my God, you ought to croak and die. And you don't want to do that. And the whole thing of it, you can't help people. When you're fighting your own mind, when you're fighting your own mind and you can't, you know, when you come around, you're dealing with people, it's just like when I first went overseas, you start ministering places. I mean, I'm going to tell you what, I saw diseases worse than COVID and laid hands on people. You know, Jesus laid hands on the lepers. The Americans don't. American Christians run and hide. That's American Christianity. You know, get the gloves and the mask. I'll tell you what. We're all going to die. And I'll tell you what, I laid hands on people. In your natural mind, you don't even want to think what they might have. When you look at what's going on, you don't want to think. But you know what? You got to have compassion on them. And you know what? They need you to touch them. I'll tell you what, I don't think most of them would give a rip about your God if you told them all you want about you love them, but you never touched them. I don't think they'd care at all what you said. I don't think they'd give 2 seconds to what you got to say about things. That's all I thought about Jesus when he touched the leper. I'll tell you what, I bet they just got blessed from the fact somebody touched me other than another leper. Somebody loved me enough to touch me. You know, John G. Lake was through bubonic plague things, and he laid hands on the people with the plagues and everything, and he did all the things he did. He said he never brought one disease back home to his family. See, all we got today is faith in doctors. That's all on earth we got. And they tell you, you can't do this and you can't do that. We say, well, surely you can't do that. That's what we believe, all this stuff. We don't believe like they did. But I found this out. We were never in the presence of God like John Lake was. You don't get in the presence of God and come out scared. You might come out like a roaring lion, but you ain't coming out scared. You might come out looking for the devil. Where is he? And the devil was going, oh no, he came out. Oh my God. I think it was one of John G. Lake's things where they had a meeting. They had a lot of prayer about a thing, and power of God really moved, and there was just so many people healed, and there was just so many people with crutches and braces and all kind of stuff. There was just piles and piles of them. And one of the intercessors saw in a vision while she was praying. She saw this. She saw these piles of stuff, and she saw the devil sitting on the top of the piles crying. I thought, oh, that would have been a good vision to see. That would have been a good one. Hallelujah. Praise God. So God anointed this Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And see, this is one of the things that we get as encouraging people, especially as we minister to people, God's willingness to heal and deliver people. And one of the things that we really want to do is get people into the position where, as God ministers to people, that we look at as laying on hands, we want to get people moved into the right frame of mind of what is going on and what to accept. We need to do what we can is to get them to be able to release their faith. That's what they have to do. They have to release their faith or believe what the Scripture says. And if they're in faith, they'll have a manifestation. It'll come. But I've told you before, lots of times, people, even though they were prayed for, they didn't have an instantaneous. See, when we're looking for something instantaneous, this is outside of Scripture from the standpoint, why would there have to be any kind of patience? You would never have to have patience. Faith, if things would happen instantaneous, you'd never have to have patience. But it's through faith and patience we inherit the promise. It takes time. Everything takes time. I found out, growing up spiritually, it takes time. You don't take somebody comes a spiritual baby and all of a sudden they jump. I came in the kingdom, I wanted to be Kenneth Hagin. I wanted to do what he did. And you know what? I did like Braden used to do with me. Braden used to try the things that I did when he was real little and, it didn't work out and he gets so frustrated. And that's what I did. I tried to do what Brother Hagin did and got so frustrated. You'd go through those, but just being a kid. That's what you're a kid spiritually. You're trying to do it. But there's a lot that I can do that he did. that I can do today that I can stand in? Well, I got there over time of learning develop. But you'll control the speed more of your growing up than anything you do. You'll control that. A lot of you are growing. It depends how quickly you respond to the Word. One of the things is really growing up about it is not just believing the Word, it's acting on the Word. Because if you don't learn to act on it and do what it says, you'll never grow up spiritually. It doesn't matter how much you believe. Acting on the Word does something to you that nothing else will do. Acting on what it says. And that's one of the things as I learned is putting action to the Word. And we want to tell people what they need to do. We're going to look back at a very familiar place we had talked quite a bit about before in Mark the 5th chapter, where the woman with the issue of blood, they call it, or the flow of blood, whichever the King James says is an issue, she had an issue of blood, but it's a flow of blood. And in Mark the 5th chapter, it's looking what she got when she touched. So we have here in the 25th verse of Mark, 25th verse says, "Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and suffered many things from many physicians. She had sent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, 'If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made whole.'" One of the things is to see in this is why as we're teaching with people and teaching this, we talked about before, is getting person in line with things. She heard about Jesus. Now, I'm saying, what did she hear about Jesus? Well, for her to have faith that she could touch his clothes and be made whole, she had to hear about that. Well, if you look through scriptures, we ain't going to go through them tonight. You can study them for yourself. If you look through the scriptures, it talks about where people were waiting just to touch his clothes. Because power was going out of them. That's what they were waiting to do. She was told about that. Now, but what she did, she believed that was true. She believed that was true. Well, it's just like, now, she didn't have somebody to come along with a Bible and give her that. That hadn't been written in Scripture yet. But she heard about it and believed it. She heard about his ministry. So it's... faith we have comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. You need to understand, this is where we need to get a person to. They need to believe what the Word says. If you can't get them to the point where they're sold what the Word says, well, going on from there is of not any value. It's no value to go in there. You've got to get them to the place. She heard, and then she said. She heard that people touched him, and then so she says, if I touch him, I'll get well too. But you know, he's so far away, and I have to get down through this town, and I have an issue of blood, and I'm not supposed to be out in public, you know? So, can't make it happen. Poor old me. I'm just going to have to stay like this. I just can't, you know? Yes, I heard they're having healing meetings in Philadelphia, but that's 90 miles away, and I hate to drive. And I don't like the traffic down there. And I just... the American. The American. I hate traffic and going in and around a city. I'd rather stay sick than go meet Jesus. You know, there's people that I know personally loved them. They'd be well today if they listened to me, but they wouldn't. They stayed around sick, laid around, couldn't get well. And I told them, I said, what you need to do is go out at Rhema. They have a healing school out there. It's every day, and you go out and you sit for hours and day just under the Word of God and have somebody with anointing stand and do that. Get away from everything else. No, they determined just to, well, you know, my insurance don't cover that. And it ain't worth the money to do that. It costs me too much. And I would, if I spend my money doing that, then I won't have money for the things here I want to do. See, they didn't plan on getting well. Do you think a lot of people plan? I told them, I said, that's exactly what you need. You need to get away from everything and get yourself in a place where you ain't hearing nothing but what you need to hear. You need to get away from your doctor for a while and hear somebody say something that's good. And I said, go out there and sit for a couple weeks. And I said, it'll change your life. I said, it'll change your life. I've never been able to get one person to ever do that. Never been able to. People want sacrifice. You know, you got to sacrifice when you want something. If you want something, you'll sacrifice for it. If you won't sacrifice for it, you never really wanted it anyhow. You know, I wanted to be in the ministry when God told me to move to Rhema. I didn't have a job. Didn't have how to take my family, take my wife and kids, move them here, move them out there to go to Bible school someplace. You're going out there. We didn't have the money to go to school. We didn't have money for none of that. But God said, go. And then people come knocking around me and they go, well, how did you get where you are? Well, I didn't get it doing what you did. You know, God can't move, get you to move to the next town. If he told you to, you'd disobey. You wouldn't do anything. If you want something, there's a sacrifice. If you want something great, there's a sacrifice. You look at any man who has started a business. That's great. What they sacrifice. And then people work in the business and want what he got. And they haven't sacrificed. You know, they say, my God, I work so many hours a day. Well, you know what? He worked probably 120 hours a week when he started this thing. He probably, for how many years? Invested all his money. They did without stuff. Hallelujah. But I'm going to tell you what, don't ever cry for me. The payoff's been great. Don't ever cry a tear. I just feel bad for the people that don't obey. I just do. Because they lose. They lose. You get stuck at a level that you can't pass. You get stuck at a level. Don't get yourself stuck at a level. Don't get yourself in that place. Don't do that. God tells you to do that. He tells you to park where you're at. Well, then don't go. Because if you do, you're going to get messed up. You obey. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Obey what to do. You'll be blessed. Hallelujah. Well, this woman, and she did it. She said it. Then she did it. And really, these are the things that really is I've been taught it for a long time, the three parts of faith. Believing, saying, and doing. They're the three parts of faith. Here's what the church says what faith is. Believing. They're exactly wrong. That's a part of faith. That's a part of faith. Faith has a confession. And then faith has a doing. And what you said, then act like it's true. This woman said it, she acted like it's true, and what'd she do? Went down there after it. I'm going to touch that dude. Hallelujah. I'm after this thing. He has something. Well, what does he have? She said, it says, immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and when she touched him, it said, in verse 29, she has felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And but we have that, when she touched him, it says, and Jesus immediately knowing in himself that what went out of him? Power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched me? What went out of her into him? Was it a healing manifestation? No, it was power. It's power to heal. That's what God gives. Power to heal. That's what he gives. That's what you're supposed to believe when hands are laid on you, that you receive power to be healed. Mark 11:24 says, if you believe you receive it, you will have it. Most people want to believe they have it. And they call that receiving it. No. They want to believe what you do is when you touch, the manifestation comes right away, then you know you have it. Well, you don't need no faith. If the manifestation comes, you don't need any faith. There's a need of faith. Power goes in you. So just like if Jesus, what he did was gave her healing power, is God going to do something different today? Is he going to offer something? No, it's healing power. You know, it's one of the things that's good. I, over the years, at least it's benefited me in helping his understanding like this. God's healing power is no different than in a sense, in medication. You go to the doctor and you get a medication. Now, 99% of the times, how many times you ever go to a doctor, you took one pill and all of a sudden, woo, my God, I feel great. Don't happen, does it? You go and you take, but you put that message, what is it? He says, do this for this, you know, here's how you take it. So what do? Do you go home and say, let's take that whole bottle. Yeah, I took the whole bottle. No, you take it like he says, it's, you know, once a day, twice a day, four times a day, whatever. You do that. How many times a doctor says, as soon as you take this, you're just going to feel it's great? Oh, my God. Watch out. No, they'll tell you. You take it, stay with it, and, you know, just make sure you take the whole thing. So we tell you. Well, God's power is many ways the same thing. What happens is God's healing power goes into you, and it requires faith to believe it's working in you. It's working. That's what most people, if they don't feel better right away, well, it didn't work. And what they do, that power's in them, but it's in a dormant stage. It won't work till they release faith. There's people already I've seen that they went for a period of time until they finally activated their faith, believed they got something when they had hands laid on them, and that same power all of a sudden took off. See, God's medicine don't work like a pill does, dissolves into your stomach, and it won't automatically go into your system like that. It only activates by faith. That's the only way it'll activate. And see, you can get it to instantly start to activate or work, or you can slowly believe and keep yourself sick for maybe another 4 or 5 weeks. See, a lot of it depends on us and what we do. This is why you want to get people to act in faith immediately and get over there. When hands are laid on me, God's healing power went into me, and that healing power is into me working. See, that's what faith. I don't feel a thing. I don't feel like it's working. It doesn't seem like it's working. I don't know how many times I've had it in my Christian walk, and something happened to me and something going on. And I'll tell you what, I'm standing praising God, I'm healed, and there ain't a sign in the world that Ed's healed. You look, and he looked bad. And this bad guy's looking bad saying, "Praise God, thank you, Lord, for healing me. I'm so glad I'm well. Hallelujah, it's working in me." But I'm going to tell you what, I've proved it out over the years. Works every time. Amen. Works every time. Hallelujah. Very few times for me, it doesn't happen. It's usually within 12 hours. I'm completely recovered. There's some things that went longer on that and some things. But I've had such miraculous instantaneous stuff that has happened so quickly. When it does happen, I'll have a problem and it'll just seem day to day. And all of a sudden, it'll just bang, just like that. It stops. But there's one thing I've always had to do. I had to use faith. I had to spend time. I had to spend worship and praising God that I was healed and thanked Him so much for giving me healing. And not a sign in the world. Not a sign in the world. But it's working. There's no signs it's working. But I'm praising God it's working. Why? That's my faith. And I ain't letting that power in me settle down and go dormant. Ain't happening. When that faith is released and I believe I got it, I am going after it. Hallelujah. I'm going to stay after it. I'm not going to let my feelings get in the way and steal from me what God has done for me. Hallelujah. And it works. I mean, look what this woman went through. If she's willing to put her life on the line to go down in a crowd, she could be by the law stoned to death for being in that crowd. How many people would do that kind of things? People wouldn't. You know, people today, we live in a cautious society. We don't live with people who are dangerous. See, I want to be dangerous. Hallelujah. Because miracles happen. Amen. With them dangerous folks. They don't happen with those people that are calm and laid back and just taking what comes along. Hallelujah. This woman, but she got healing power. And so that healing power then gave her a manifestation. But remember what she believed. She didn't believe for a manifestation. She believed because she heard about that power. She's going to go get that. Because what she wants is the power. That's what you want. You want the power. See, God's kingdom is about power. Amen. Hallelujah. See, in this world, who runs the shows? Who got the power? And this is what's a big shameful thing, that the church ain't running the show, and the church is hooked to the greatest power in the universe. And the church hasn't been running the show because we want to feel power. We want somebody to say it's okay if you can use some power. It's all right. We want approval. We want this, that, instead of, hey, God, I want your power. Make me crazy with it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So she got power. Now, I'll finish this and we'll go on next week further. But in Luke 6, verse 17, this is Jesus, and this is from the story of the man who was let down through the roof where they tore the roof open. But here's the beginning of it. No, wait, this one here, no, this one isn't. That's the next one. It is what Jesus did that. Okay. But Luke 17. We look here, this is verse 17, on Luke 6, verse 17. And he came down with them and stood on a level place with a crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people all from Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon who came to hear him and be healed of their diseases, as well as those who were tormented with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for power went out from him and healed them all. What went out? Power. Power. What went out is power. So what we want to start to tell people is they need to, you're going to receive the power of God. Now we need to talk to, it isn't based upon a feeling. If we do what the Bible says, I have seen, in fact, the greatest thing really was a miracle took place one time, and I felt nothing when I prayed for the person, and the person felt nothing either. They didn't both feel it. I was ministering one Sunday, this we started when we were in Birch Road. And I was out on Birch Road there, and a guy came up. I had been ministering. In fact, it was a healing anointing come on me that morning, and I had ministered to people. And he was newer. He had only been to church a couple of times. And he had came with his sister. And church was over, and he walked up to me and asked me if I would pray for him, because he hadn't come up. And I guess he was just sort of bashful, I guess, about the time. And he said, he asked me if I'd pray for him. He said, and this is all he told me. He said, I have back problems. And he said, I'm not allowed to pick up over 5 pounds. The doctors tell me not to pick them up. And he said, I have a vertebrae that are welded in my back. He said, that's what I have. And the healing anointing wasn't on me. It had lifted. We had ministered. That had lifted. So we're just going to pray by faith. Well, I know how to pray by faith. And I told him, I said, well, yeah, I said, God can heal you and that. And I said, I laid hands on him and I prayed for him. And I didn't feel a thing. I didn't feel nothing, just in faith, believing God's going to work. I believe God's going to help the guy. Laid hands on him, healing power of God going into him. He didn't feel a thing. He even told me later, he didn't feel nothing when he went. But he went home, and at 2:00 in the afternoon, he gives me a call. And he said, I was home here, and he said, we ate lunch and stuff, and he said, and I forget what he said, he had something in his hand he dropped on the floor. And he said, without even thinking, he said, I bent down and picked the thing up, and he said, I stood up with it, and I thought, I bent over. Because he couldn't bend over. His back's vertebrae are welded together, you know, I know what they do with that. I don't know if they get an arc welder or what, I don't know. But anyhow, then he tells me this, we find out later. He can turn around and move because he says to me then, he said, I don't see how I can move because he said, I have a metal rod in my back. I'm like, oh my gosh. And I thought, dear God. He went to the doctor and found out the metal rod's gone. It ain't there no more. Absolutely had a miracle. That thing disappeared. An absolute miracle. We felt nothing. Guess what? You can't go by your feelings in this thing. He had a miracle. And nobody felt nothing. Him and I felt nothing. We just prayed the prayer of faith. God worked a miracle. Amen. It's like, whoa. So we know Ed didn't do it. So that one left me out. Hallelujah. So praise God. But he could bend over fine after that and stuff, and he was good. Hallelujah. But that was an absolute miracle. I mean, that there was no way naturally that could take place, and it wasn't from the stand. That rod removed sure wasn't a healing. Hallelujah. And so that was gone. So as we get people to understand the power of God, and understand, just think, if we get people to understand, it's God's power. And we're not talking about, you know, because most people, when they think about healing, they think of doctors and stuff like that. That has limited us so much. We're talking about the healing power of God. Amen. There's no limits to it. There is absolutely no limit to its ability to heal. There's no limits on it. See, get that in your mind. The more you get with a person that you're convinced that God will do something for them, the more they will become convinced. You know, don't be one of those people, well, let's pray and see what God will do. Well, why don't you just forget and go home and send somebody with faith to talk to them? Let's see what God's going to do. See, that's not what we're supposed to be seeing with God. We know what God wants to do. He wants to heal the sick. That's what he wants to do. I would never tell the people God didn't want it. The power of God, when Ed shows up, the power of God is present to heal. Hallelujah, I'm here. And so what? And it was here already. I just showed up. But I'll be a channel for it if you like, Lord. This is what we'll do. But see, you have to have something to offer people. You can't offer that God is good, but maybe today he don't want to do it. Well, what day does he? When does all of a sudden he get a decision? Well, then you're going to pray and seek God and find that day, or you can't believe nothing. Hallelujah. The willingness of God is all the time. So I said about on Sunday about, you know, people praying from the problem standpoint or from the power standpoint. If you're a problem prayer, you're not going to go very far. The power prayer, the one that steps in, knows God wants to do. God wants to do something. God wants to bless a person. Yeah, but you don't know what they did wrong. Wow, you ugly thing, he saved you. What do you care? What do you think he'd want less for them? You see, this is how you think. How you think is how what limits you and the power of God from you. See, you got to come to the place, God isn't moved by what man did. If he was, he'd have never sent Jesus. He was never moved by it. And see, you come and say, but I've been ugly. Well, he said, if you confess your sins, he'll forgive you. Cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I mean, look at this. It says, if a person comes and calls on the elder of the church, and it says, you anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord, the prayer of faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will raise them up, and if they committed any sins, he'll forgive them. I mean, he just threw that right in there. He said, even if they were an idiot, we'll heal them anyhow. Come on, let's get... I'll forgive them and we'll heal them. That's God. That's how God works. See, that's the fervent prayer of the righteous man. A person who knows what God wants to do and is convinced of it and is not limited by their own mentality. Don't limit yourself. Don't limit God because of what you think. Hallelujah. He's wanting to do something big. He wants to do something mighty. And keep yourself in that. That's what he wants to do. I'm just hooking up when I'm going to pray for somebody. I'm not going to pray for somebody God don't want to help. You know, I've learned this over the years. I've been around people that you could not get them over in the areas of faith. But even around people I have been who died, God always wants to do something to bless them in some way or another. He's always looking for a way to bless them in some way. He's always looking for it. That's why he told me, he said, make sure they have a good home going. God wants to bless however he can. He's always trying to get a foothold in. When people are, God wants to shoot them and get rid of them. Shoot him, drag him out, and throw him in the ditch. My God. He's not like that. God is always looking for a way to bless people. Like, you can take people that have done terrible, awful things. But I'll tell you what. It's one of the greatest things that I noticed when I was out. This is years ago. I was in Moundsville Penitentiary, which at that time, that place is closed. It was just a hellhole. And it was, most of the people were lifers and stuff in there. And horrendous crimes and stuff and things people committed. And one of the most awful things that I found when I was there is, you don't go there and expect to find a lot of Christians that are there. But a lot of guys who were in there had come out of Christian families, were born again. Some of them even been spirit-filled. But they got away from God and got into horrendous problems and killing, murdering, and doing all kind of stuff. But you know, God will forgive you. You did, idiot. But you know, you couldn't get them past their thinking about God. They heard wrong things. And they just thought they were too bad to forgive. And they had done too much. It's heartbreaking. You talk to them. And you can't convince them. See, they've heard all the nonsense. They don't know the compassion and love of God. The Bible says he's full of compassion. He's full of mercy. It doesn't say he's a 2 quarts low. He said he's full. He's full. And see, you keep that within you. He's full of, you know, if anything God wants to do, God is always looking for a way to show compassion and mercy. And mercy is for the person who has no need from the standpoint, there's not a thing about them that they deserve anything good for them. Mercy is needed for the person who has just done it, blown it all. But God has mercy. We show mercy in times where mercy's not due. It's not due. But God has shown mercy. You know, I was thinking about Kenneth Hagin told a story of a guy who was healed. He talked about the sins this guy. He was a Christian, but he got away from God. And he had done a number of things. God healed him. And he actually broke his back, was in a body cast. And God healed him. And he was complete and instantly healed. And he said, the guy was backsliding. He's committing adultery. And God healed him. He said, the mercy of God. He said, it's absolutely phenomenal. He said, you know, most preachers would always think, well, God ain't going to help him. Well, he's done. But he said, God still kept showing mercy to him. Now, that guy went on his life, and he didn't get back with God, but he came down to the place where he got in trouble, and he closed the door, and he just had no faith for hooking up to it. But he hadn't walked with God all these years. And Kenneth Hagin said, he was in the room with the guy, and they asked for prayer and that stuff. And Brother Hagin said he laid his hands on his head to pray. And he said, the Lord he said he didn't know what it was first. He thought the guy moved his head. He laid his hand on the head. He said, I closed my eyes. And he said, felt like a hand grabbed me, my hand and pulled it off of. And he said, I looked to see what happened. He said, didn't look like a God move. He said, I laid my hands on and started to pray again. He said, felt like a hand to move my hand. And he said, Lord, what's going on here? What's the matter? And the Lord said, he has never walked right with me. He said, for 35 years, he hasn't walked right with me. And he said, finally, he said, now he's walking right with me. He's repented, turned himself back. He said, he's coming home. He said, that's the best for him. See, well, why did God do that? Was he acting out of love? Was he mad at him? No. I'm going to tell you, I know exactly what happened. If God would have healed him there, he'd have went right back to the life of sin and probably ended up dying and separated from God. God said, I want him with me. I want him in the house. Amen. God's more interested in you being in the house than you just running around down here. God is interested in people making eternity in the kingdom. That's number one on the list. Number one on the list ain't how long you can live here. The number one on the list is you get there. That's the number one on the list. And just because somebody accepted Jesus don't mean they're going to end up there. People need to understand that. Hallelujah. There's a walk to be had, and I'll tell you what, that walk is wonderful, and the destination is a million times greater. Hallelujah. When you get to heaven, you're going to be so happy you walked with God. Hallelujah. You're going to be so glad. Hallelujah. That you look back at anything you went through in this earth and say, who cares? That was nothing. Does the scripture say it's nothing compared to the glory that's going to be revealed in us? Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, we just thank you. Thank you tonight, Father, because you are a God full of mercy and compassion. And we just thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, you're so good. And Lord, we want to learn to walk and live in this goodness and pass it on to others. Hallelujah. Oh, people need the goodness of God. Lord God, there's so much craziness going on. There's so much fear and so much anxiety. Lord God, I want to thank you for raising up a people that are full of faith and confidence in you, Lord. Father God, that they're so full of the Holy Ghost and power. Lord God, that they go about doing good, healing all that are oppressed of the devil because God's with them. Hallelujah. Revealing your goodness and mercy to people. They need to see it. They need to hear the truth about this wonderful good God that's not against them, but for them. Hallelujah. So we thank you, Father. Father, we're on a mission, and Lord God, our mission first is coming in contact with you. Lord, we're to pray that you would send laborers into the harvest, and Lord God, we want to get in your presence and live in that presence because we want to walk out when you send us out. Hallelujah. We're worthy laborers of this harvest. Hallelujah. That we're walking in the glory that you prepared for us in this day and time. And so we thank you. Lord God, you're not going to be disappointed. Hallelujah. You're a wonderful master, and we just love you. We want to serve you. Our desire is to do your will. Hallelujah. There is nothing better. Glory to God, Lord. Our hearts are not going to be happy till we're walking hand in hand with you. Hallelujah. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.